Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. Another week, another opportunity. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. I am your host, Teron Davenport, and you are now talking with TD. We got Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this thing go smoothly. Obviously, Run TMC is going to be a segment that we'll do, so definitely stay tuned for that. Special guest this week, Harry Douglas, talking a little shop. Hey, man, the Titans and Falcons play, so no better guy to have on than Harry Douglas, the former Titans and Falcons receiver. And leading up to the preseason game, the preseason opener, that is, I figured it would be best to go over this unofficial depth chart that has drawn so much attention from the Titans fans. It's crazy, man. The enthusiasm, is obviously there. But I just think we got to taper it a little bit because it's an unofficial depth chart. And there's a lot of attention being drawn to as far as, like, who is on what team, first team, second team, third team, et cetera. Listen, this is just kind of like a guide, okay? Now, they have groups, but really what it boils down to is starters and reserves. And, you know, a lot of the reserves will rotate in with the starters, and you have it that way. And again, like I said, they have groups. So when you look at this depth chart, right, and you see a guy like let's see here. We'll look here. So you see a guy like Chris Jackson, right? He is not listed with the starters, but right now he's probably the starting nickel corner. There isn't a slot for nickel, right? So you can't really call him a starter. He's not necessarily a reserve according to this depth chart. So you just kind of have to understand that there's groupings, right? You know, sometimes they start 11 personnel, okay? Josh Reynolds, a guy. Yeah, we're going to get into him, actually, but – you look at Josh Reynolds, right? He's someone that, you know, wow, I'm looking at this and I don't even see him listed. Oh, yeah, there he is. So they open up at 11 personnel, right? So they did change that. But what happens if they start 12 personnel, right? Is it going to be Jeff Swaim and Ferkser? Is it going to be Luke Stocker? It's hard to really tell for sure how the groupings are going to be. Jeff Swaim is listed as the starter. We at tight end, we know he's not the starting tight end. Anthony Ferkser is. But, again, this is unofficial. And then, you know, there's questions about guys like Caleb Farley. You know what I mean? He's listed, you know, and Elijah Molden. He's listed, you know, behind Breann Body Calhoun. We know that Molden at some point is going to – he's now ahead of him, to be honest with you. We'll say it that way. It's just you have to listen to some of the things that Coach Vrabel said, right? And first and foremost, with the rookies, what did he say, right? Because you got Dylan Raiden's listed as right guard. But what did he say? These spots that they're in is just to reinforce the fact that they have to earn their job. They have to earn the right. That's something that you have to factor in. But we'll kind of start from the top. We'll go with the offense, and obviously quarterback situation is what it is. We'll see Woodside and Barkley. We should see those guys extensively on Friday, so we're looking forward to that. But, you know, Woodside obviously has the inside track there. Running back, the competition that I'm looking at is Darrington Evans, Brian Hill, and Jeremy McNichols. You know, I would say a max of two of these guys make it, maybe – maybe only one makes it. We'll see. I mean, or I would say a max of a max because you got carry Blossom game as well. McNichols, Hill, and Evans. It's going to be close. Obviously, Evans makes it, but does McNichols or do they make it? Right, and I think McNichols is a guy that they really like just because of his pass pro. Right, he's a reliable guy in third down situations, and obviously, you know, with the Derrick Henry. A lot of times coming off the field on third and long, they're going to need a guy that could be categorized as a third down back. Now, I asked Darrington Evans about pass pro, you know, and improving there, and he said he's continuing to work to do it. But, you know, there's not really much you can do in that situation as far as in practice to really get better. Like, you could work technique and those type of things, but the best way to do it to get better is to do it. So that's something to watch. I do think it's going to be good to see these guys get some work in. When you look at the and Mekhi Sargent, you're seeing him get a lot of reps too. For whatever reason, he's earned himself some reps. He's at the bottom of the depth chart there, but he's a guy that you should see a lot of in this preseason. Moving on to the tight ends, as I mentioned, Swaim is listed as a starter. You got Firkser there. Obviously, he's the starter, but Luke Stocker and Tommy Hudson, that's going to be a good competition. Will they keep four tight ends? We'll have to see. You got Pinckney in there, but I really would struggle to see him making it. Miller Forrestal as well. It's going to be tough for those guys to leapfrog the veterans on there. But Tommy Hudson especially, like, he made a couple really nice catches during a situational period. You know, he had a nice one-hander and a nice one over the shoulder too. So you're seeing him make his move. It's going to be interesting watching there. The one area that you probably should have a little bit of concern is the interior offensive line. And here's the thing, right? You got Ben Jones, who's getting a lot of maintenance days, and Daniel Munyer is just, you know, you're seeing more of him and Cole Banwart, but Munyer has really struggled with snaps. So until Aaron Brewer is able to be back, there's a huge question mark at center, right? And that could end up surfacing, you know, when they play the Falcons. So we'll have to see what happens there. I'm curious how that whole thing is going to work out just with those guys. And you got Kuhn on the roster. Dylan Radunz is just kind of, his situation is interesting because you wanted him to compete, right, for that right tackle spot, but he's playing right guard, he's playing left guard. Like, he's all over the place, left tackle, right tackle. So I think that competition there at right tackle is more, as is listed here, Tyson Brelo, Kendall Lamb as co-starters. It just simply means they don't know who is the first guy yet. But I think David Quesenberry is in that mix too. He's listed behind Taylor Lewan at left tackle, but you could certainly put him in at right tackle and see something from him there. Speaking of Lewan, he actually started taking some team reps for the first time, and you're actually seeing him go, not stop on contact, but go full tilt. That's a positive sign. He said he has a newfound appreciation for football, you know, after being away from it so long. You know, he joked about being stoked about you know, his legs hurting after practice and those type of things. So I think the offensive line is going to be a group to watch. But, again, specifically those interior guys because, man, it's going to be tough sorting through that and developing your depth guys. I think what's going to end up happening is your tackles, you know, your Quesenberrys, your Sambrello or Kendall Lamb, whoever should not be the right tackle, they're going to have to double duty play guard and tackle. So that's kind of how I see that one falling out. And then obviously the receiver position, the wide receiver position. Okay, so we know Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, right? But, you know, Josh Reynolds. And I wanted to bring this up because, you know, I kind of see myself getting grouped into saying that he's not going to make the roster. And here's the deal. Like, context is key. Context is key. I'm not saying that he's not going to make the roster. I believe wholeheartedly that he's going to make the roster. What I am saying is, though, don't think that it's just set in stone. Like, don't think that it's automatic. Like, he's hurt right now. He's hurt. But I've seen situations where a guy got released after signing a $1.7 million deal. I saw it, you know, in Philly, and they released Chris Givens and Reuben Randle. And that was a team that didn't have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones on their roster. Jordan Matthews was their number one at the time. So I'm just saying it's possible. I don't think it should be expected. But at the same time, the whole reason that we brought this up was the rise of Marcus Johnson, right, and the surfacing of Chester Rogers. And now I'm not saying these guys are better than Josh Reynolds. I don't believe that to be the case. But right now in camp, they're the more consistent players. They're the ones that are stepping up and making a case for themselves to be on this roster. Now, when you got this receiver position, for me, after Reynolds, Fitzpatrick, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown, I think there's going to be three spots there, but it's two groups of three, in my opinion, right? When you look at Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, when you look at Racy McMath, when you look at Marcus Johnson, these are your bigger guys. Now, Marcus Johnson isn't a bigger receiver. He's 6'1", 6'2", but he plays bigger. You see him go up and make contested catches. You see him go up and catch the football across the middle. But I think these guys, their double on special teams will be as gunners. Let's not forget, Marcus Johnson, a very athletic guy coming out of Texas, 4.39 speed. I think it would be fine having him out there at gunner. He actually is working that area anyway. So I think two of those three guys make it. Two of those three guys. So who's it going to be? You're going to try to hide Westbrook McKinney on the practice squad? Are you going to put Marcus Johnson there? I don't believe that you could pass Racy McMath to the practice squad just because of the size and speed aspect that he brings. So you have those three. Then you have the what I call the Smurfs, right? The guys who double as return men. Mason Kinsey has been a consistent player as well. Now, granted, there have been a couple drops. I'll be honest with you. He's had a couple drops. But for the most part, he's catching the football well. He's stepping up, you know, as that slot guy for them. And he doubles as a returner. Chester Rogers, I think, has had the best performance out of the bunch. And he is someone that you're seeing continue to get more significant reps with that starting group. That's something to take note of. He's also a returner. He's a veteran. He has years in the NFL. Cam Batson is another one. And, you know, Batson, he was riding a stationary bike most recently on Tuesday. He's kind of been quiet. He's been quiet. He had a couple good days, but I don't know how that's going to play out. You know, so these are the things that you want to watch during the preseason. Watch to see how these receivers are making plays and, you know, who is able to separate themselves on game day, right? In addition to practice. Like, practice is good. You want to be consistent in practice, but you also want to show up in games. So that's kind of the way I look at the offense. The defense kind of speaks for itself. Trevon Coley is a guy that has stepped up. You know, he's listed behind Denico Autry at defensive end. Tier Tart is your nose. Jeffrey Simmons is you know, one of your guys up front. Larrell Murchison is another one to watch. Big Anthony Rush and Kyle Pecco. These are players I'm going to be looking at closely to see what they're able to do. Rush just does such a good job just clogging things up in the middle. But Pecco, he consistently gets really good penetration. So we'll keep that in mind. Rashad Weaver, again, he's listed, you know, behind Wyatt Ray, Roberson, and Dupree. He's a rookie. They're going to have the rookies listed lower, but you're seeing steady improvement with him. He had a pretty good day on Monday. So I definitely keep note of Rashad Weaver and what they're doing with him. Monty Rice is another one that's listed low. He's behind Jan Johnson and Rashawn Evans. I want to see what he does, right? Because Mike Vrabel actually, you know, pointed him out as a guy that he wanted to see able to shed blocks, right? And that's something that he was known for doing as far as like finding the football and making plays at Georgia. So let's see that in game day. Sometimes things just turn up for a guy in game day. So we'll be looking for that from Monty Rice. As far as the safeties are concerned, you know, Matthias Farley is quietly having a pretty good camp. You know, he was able to get another interception the other day on the situational period. It was a tipped pass, and he was able to bring it in. Body Calhoun tipped the pass, and he caught it. Dane Cruikshank has kind of been up and down as far as, like, his health is concerned. He's someone that I want to see what they're going to do with him. Brady Breeze made a nice play. So that's someone he had a pick six the other day. So we'll watch that. Kevin Peterson, Chris Jones, these are guys at the back end of the cornerback group. Body Calhoun, as we mentioned. Breon Borders, I think he's going to get extensive time. Christian Fulton, he's another one, right? So as Caleb Farley continues to work his way back, you know, if Farley becomes the right corner, I could see Fulton bumping inside and playing nickel. He was asked about that, but he just said he's kind of playing, you know, whatever the coaches ask him to do. He could go left, right, nickel, whatever you want. So the versatility is there for him. I think he's going to play some. They need to get him more reps, right? Because you look, last year was only, what, six games that he was able to take part in. So he needs to continue to work his way in there. Jack Rabbit Jenkins, I don't see him playing. But Chris Jackson, you know, again, going back to Chris Jackson, that's a good opportunity to get him some more reps. And Chris Jackson, Elijah Molden, those guys are intriguing to me because I think they impact the safety group as well because they both are capable of playing safety as well. Molden, to me, you know, is a Buda Baker type. where you could just line him up anywhere in the secondary. So we'll see how that continues to develop. He's done pretty well himself in practice. So those are some of the things just off the top, offense and defense. Man, this kicking thing, Tucker McCann, Sam Ficken, these guys are going neck and neck, making a lot of kicks, long-distance ones too. It seemed like releasing Hallbeal and signing Ficken just kind of lit a fire under Tucker McCann, and he's become more consistent. So we'll see what happens there. Right now, the punt returner, the top punt returner, Chester Rogers, is listed there. The kickoff returner is Darrington Evans. No surprise there. So we'll see how this continues to work out. Just to go through the whole punt return side of things, you got Chester Rogers, Cam Batson, Mason Kinsey. I will say this, Josh Reynolds has caught punts. They had Amani Hooker back there catching punts. They had Darrington Evans back there. They had Brian Hill as well. So there have been a different group of guys back there. It's all just going to have to play itself out, man. Somebody's going to have to make a play in the punt return game. And I just want to see who makes a big play just to really set themselves up for a roster spot. So that's that segment, man. I wanted to open up, get into this depth chart because I know you guys paid so much attention to it. And, you know, for those of you who need to know, I mean, the way you read this thing, first and foremost, right, it's not set in stone. There are things that are going to change. But the way you read this thing, you have to go left to right and then drop down. That's the way it works. So, in other words, you look at the receivers, right? Julio Jones, Marcus Johnson, Cam Batson, drop down to Freddie Brown. You know, that's really the way it works. So, it's, you know, for those of you that may not be familiar with how to read this thing, that's how you do it. But I think above all else, what you got to do is just kind of like give it one of these right here and throw it out. There's no meaning to it, okay? It's just a guideline. We'll be right back. Got to pay these bills.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right, that's right. You hear that music, talking with TD. You know what time it is. Run TMC. It's time to bring in my guy, Chris Sanders. And you know what? I'm going to let you go ahead and do the intro.
No. Ladies first, man. Go, you first.
Oh, ladies first. Low blow.
I'm just messing with you. You can't mess up the tradition. You know you got to go first, man. You know the man that I was got to go, boss.
Yeah, we can't mess up the tradition, so I'll keep it going. So here we go. And now, starting for your Dallas Mavericks at forward, number 22, Rolando Blackman.
Man, you a clown. This gonna get you right here. And now, starting in an award-winning movie, Hotel Rwanda, Don Cheadle.
Oh man, he gonna call me the traitor.
Oh, come on, man. Y'all look just alike, man. I turned on the TV. I'm like, man, is that TD? What are we doing here? I said, I thought he was covering football. Now he's, you know, acting and saving people from Hotel Rwanda. I'm telling you, man, you are the man, Doc.
He gonna tell me I look like that
hurt you right there, didn't it?
Yeah, that hurt my feelings, man. That hurt my feelings.
I was looking at TV, I'm like, man, he looks familiar. Oh, it's TD. I'm like, what are we doing?
I tell you one thing. Hey, listen, man. Sometimes people say I look like Common, you know, and
yeah, kind of.
It doesn't matter when you say it. You know what I mean? If a lady says it,
ooh,
You know how Common You know what? You know Common got that song called Go.
Yeah,
it's go time. You know when that happens. But what's going on, man?
This heat ain't no joke, man. We've been practicing. You know, we start our schedule next Friday. We're going against Ravens, who's a powerhouse. And, man, I've just been watching the Titans and stuff at the NFL, man. I'm excited to see what the Titans are going to do against Atlanta this week, man. I know the top guys are probably not going to play, but I still want to see them execute on offense, defense, who's ever in the game. And then also, this is the battle that I really want to see. With all the receivers that the Tennessee Titans have, we already know A.J. Brown's going to make the team, Julio Jones going to make the team, but those slew of receivers like Rodgers, Fitzpatrick, and Johnson, I want to see who's going to step up and take the lead of being that third or fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to me just to see who is, because as you mentioned, Marcus Johnson has stepped up. And look, one of the things that I credit him for is consistency.
That's what you want as a receiver.
Every day.
Man.
Every daggone day this dude is out there making plays. And then even every period. You know what I mean? It's 7-on-7. Team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not doing much one-on-one, so I haven't been able to bring you guys some videos of that. But it's just consistently making plays, and it's different plays, right? Jumping up and catching it across the middle, making contested catches along the sideline. Over-the-shoulder catches. His hands are very consistent. And one of the things that stands out to me is just the way during practice, you know, he's working and catching the ball. But after practice, you know, and the whole receiver crew does it. But you know, he's out there almost every day, the last one. He and Mason Kinsey are almost every day the last ones off the field. Josh Reynolds and you know what? Let's get into that, too. We'll get into that as well. But, you know, he was obviously the subject of a lot of social media conversation. And he was the last one on the field on what day was that? These camp, man. These days run together. Like I keep thinking today's Thursday. I don't know what it is. So it was Tuesday. He was the last one. The last one on the field. So I give him credit for that. But – Josh Reynolds, right? And you know, the thought of him, like, I firmly believe he's going to make the roster. You know what I mean? I firmly believe it.
I don't know.
You know, the problem is he's hurt, right? Like, I can't see him releasing him with him being hurt and then knowing what he is capable of doing.
Right. But here's the difference, though, TD, and I agree with you 100%. If he played every special teams and he played wide receiver, then you can be like, okay, he definitely has a spot. But right now, he's just a wide receiver with a slew of other receivers that we just named that are playing just as good or even better.
Yeah.
You know, you said that's just the only problem that, you know, is he valuable? I'm not saying he's not a great player, but is he valuable to the team? Because if you keep him, then you're going to have to cut somebody else that maybe plays special teams also. But if you have a guy that's just as good as him but also can play kick return, punt return, you know, kickoff team, you can keep a guy as opposed to, you know, cutting so many.
Ironically, he's been back there with the punt returners off and on, but I don't think that's something that they would actually have him do. But I think that those top three, I think they're safe with those guys being contributors solely on offense. And it almost like splits into two different groups after that, right? You have what I call the Smurfs, you know. You got Kinsey, Rodgers, and Batson.
Fitzpatrick
is another one. I think he's a fourth round pick, and they moved up to get him. So I think they'll keep him. But you know, it's like two groups of three, and then you got the returners, right? Then the Smurfs, and then you got the gunners and Marcus Johnson. Westbrook Akinney and Racy McMath. So we'll see how all that works. Oh, yeah. I wanted to you know, just get a little touch from you in regards to Reynolds, you know, because obviously that's something a lot of people are talking about. But, you know, I think we put it off enough. So it's time to go ahead and get this top five receiver thing going. And man, it's just so hard for me to pick. It is so hard. But you know what? I'll start off with my number five receiver. And
got it.
Oh, boy.
We might be on the same page on some things. And when I say my number five, you're going to be like, are you serious? But I'm going to explain why. You up.
Yeah. Well, you know, my thing with this guy is red zone. You know, if you're in the red zone, you know, you just put it up there and he's going to go get it. He was an outstanding hooper in the Houston area. He ended up, you know, being able to use those skills in the red zone. And he's also a deep threat. And, you know, his route running, he moves pretty well for a big man. But, you know, my number five, I'm going with Mike Evans, man. And he's a Debo of a receiver because you see him blocking, too. He's complete, man. I'm going Mike Evans. All you have to do is put it in the area, and he's coming down with the rebound.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We always talk about, you know, tall guys or big receivers can't run routes. That's how, like, what Megatron did, just went into the Hall of Fame. When he first came into the league, you know, he couldn't run routes. But once he understood how to run routes, he became a better wide receiver. That's the same thing with your guy. He was big coming into the league. He's a big receiver. He wears number 13. I mean, he's huge.
Yeah.
But his route running is to perfection, big dog. That's why, I wouldn't disagree with that pick.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with – okay.
He knows how to change his speed. It's very keen and Allen like, you know, as far as changing speeds within the routes. But who you got at number five?
I got DK Metcalf.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. And the reason why I like DK Metcalf, you know, and when we first got in the league, you know, everybody was talking about his route running and all they can do is run the verticals and, you know, the posts and all that thing. But I watched him understand how to run routes now. I've been watching him a little bit in camp and I've been watching what he did last year. Dude, he's a game breaker, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I was torn between him and AJ Brown, but I just think that right now, this is just my opinion, I may be wrong, I just think that DK Metcalf is a better deep threat than AJ Brown. AJ Brown catches the ball and makes things happen, but I think DJ Metcalf, he's big, he's physical, he looks like Godzilla out there running routes. I mean, he's huge, but man, he has the capability of making any catch wherever it is on the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you go A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf, that reminds me of the T.O. and Randy Moss conversation. You know what I mean? That's how I look at that. So I can't knock you having Metcalf. I'm surprised, but I can't knock it because, look, man, when it's time to go, you know, he definitely does that. And ironically, you mentioned Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Yeah. Well, when he and A.J. Brown were at Ole Miss, their receiver coach, Jacob Peeler, used to do cut-ups specifically for them.
Wow.
AJ Brown's cut-ups were always Julio Jones tape.
Mm-hmm.
Metcalf's cut-up was always Calvin Johnson tape.
Wow. So that's cool right there.
Yeah. So a little background there. Well, at number four, this is tough for me. You know what I mean? It's really tough because, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, man. Bunk it. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I want to put Keenan Allen in there. You know what I mean? I want to put Keenan Allen in there. But I am going to put Julio Jones at number four. And I'm not talking about the one we saw last year. I'm talking about the one we saw in 2019. And just when you have a big guy like that, that could run like and move like a little guy, right, and someone that you could line up anywhere.
Right.
I got to put Julio Jones at number four, and it might be rich for some people's blood, and I'm not putting him at four because he's a Titan, you know what I mean? I'll even, you know, throw a knock out there. I would like to see him score more touchdowns. That's always been a bit of a gripe I've had with Julio Jones, but I'm putting him at number four.
You can't fail, man. I mean, when you have a healthy Julio Jones, I mean, his presence is known on the field. We always talk about, you know, when a player's on the field, you can feel him on the field. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that you know he's on the field. You know he's lined up in the slot. You know he's out on the perimeter. And he's one of those guys, just like what we talked about, DK Metcalf, big, physical, and can make the tough catch. But my number four is, I just can't – I was struggling with this, but I just think that he's still this consistent player. It's Hopkins from Arizona.
Hmm.
I mean, he had 115 catches, 1,400 yards, 6 TDs. I agree with you 100% too that, you know, he maybe need to decrease his touchdowns. He had 6 last year. But, man, he just always makes the tough catch. I mean, you look up, he's snagging balls. He's jumping over 3 guys to make a touchdown to win the game last year. So I got to go with Hopkins at number 4.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that. Actually, that's a bit low in my opinion for him,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, look, I'm not mad. He's top 5. Hey, what more can you say? At number 3 for me, you know, this is kind of,
you're on the same page. I guarantee you're on the same page.
This is easy for me, honestly.
Yep.
And I love guys who run routes and have beautiful releases and just catch the ball and get yards after the catch. It just can be virtually unstoppable. And That is what Stephon Diggs was last year, virtually unstoppable. And he's a guy that even, you know, dating back to his days at Maryland, I've always been fond of him just because that last game that he played against Stanford, you know, this dude suffered a life-threatening injury, you know, a punctured lung, and he went out there and still balled out, you know, and that told me, like, hey, he's tough, he's a baller, I love his game. So, you know, when it comes time to cover one-on-one, there aren't too many guys in the league that could do it. Stephon Diggs is my number three receiver.
And I told you we was on the same page, mine and Stephon Diggs. I knew we were going there. He had 111 catches. He had 8 TDs. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. He's a tough dude.
Yes.
Man. This dude is tough. I mean, when he catches the ball, he's not trying to run out of bounds. He's going to run through your face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about him. And just like what you talk about, I love route runners. I love a guy who understands how to get the guy off the spot. I love a guy who understands how to set guys up and lie with his eyes. And he may not be the fastest guy out there, but he's always getting open. Why? Because of his technique, getting guys off the spot, chest over knees, lying with his eyes, all those things that a receiver does. And, you know, I agree with you 100%. I got Stephon Diggs in my number three.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. Number two, as I said, I felt that Hopkins at four was a bit low. It just baffles me because, like, there's nothing – I don't want to say there's nothing special because there's obviously something special if I'm having him as my number two receiver in the league. But like, you don't come out and say, man, he's the biggest guy. You don't come out and say, oh, he's the quickest guy. You don't come out and say, oh, he's the fastest guy. The one thing that you will come out and say is, daggone, he's the toughest guy. And you just go back to you heard what he said in Hard Knocks, right? I fear God. He said, I don't start it, I just finish it.
And then broke his ankles on the next round on a chop comeback.
Broke his ankles. There was a little hesitation. Pop, pop, and then he really came back. Yo, D'Angelo Hall didn't know what to do, man. It was a darn shame. And he just walked away, man. I don't start it, I just finish it.
Hey, that's a perfect thing to stop the fight.
Yeah, that's look, definitely that wouldn't even stop the fight. That's one of the ones where it's like, if he dies, he dies. The way he fell over, man, it was cold blooded. I got another one for you too. Well, I use it for the next guy. But yeah, so I mean,
that was your number two.
That was my number two, man. The contested catches, like, it's just crazy. You look at the way. He's another one like Mike Evans, right? It has to do is be near him. He, in my opinion, probably has the strongest hands in the league, you know, and that really stands out to me. So, yeah, man, that toughness he brings, like, he's a mutt, man. Like, that's right there. So I love watching 100%. Him play. That's my number two.
Well, my number two is just because he's explosive and, you know, if he catches a 5-yard hitch, he's throwing up the deuce signs because he knows there's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I got to go with my cat, Tyreek Hill.
Cheetah.
I have to. I mean, 87 catches, you know, over, you know, 1,200 yards. And this is the key, 15 touchdowns. That's huge. He may not have a lot of yards like the other guys that I just named, but he has 15 touchdowns. I mean, that's huge. And just watching him, the way he runs routes, you know, he runs like what's that little guy on Bugs Bunny that spins around? I forgot his name. I forgot his name, but whatever he is. But he reminds me of him. But just watching him run routes and just how explosive he is. He can catch a hitch, catch a slant, and take it the distance. So my number two is Tyreek Hill.
You know who he reminds me of? You know from Tom and Jerry? You know Jerry's cousin, right? That diesel mouse that would come around.
That's hilarious.
That's who he reminds me of. Well, you know, Tyreek Hill, and that's something like I kind of battled back and forth with. It was like, okay, do I want to put – well. Him or Julio Jones or Mike Evans, and I just said, well, you know, this list is not going to have Tyreek Hill in my top five, and hey, you know what, shoot a hole in it if you want, it's fine.
Yeah, no doubt.
My number one receiver in the league, and I would imagine we're on the same page, you know.
Yes.
I talk about releases and talk about routes, you know.
Oh.
Hey, look, man, there's one thing that coaches – probably say to DBs a lineup against Davante Adams. You know what they say?
Yeah.
It's suicide.
They out there talking like Adrian. It's suicide.
If he dies.
That, real simple, man. It's crazy the way this dude is able to freak folks at the line of scrimmage, man. Like,
it's crazy.
I don't remember seeing I can't really think of many. His route running is superb.
Dude,
superb.
It's beautiful. Dude, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's like poetry in motion. But we always talk, a receiver always talks about leaving a legacy, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got the Jerry Rice leaving a legacy. You had the Chris Carter leave a legacy. This guy's leaving a legacy, and I'm going to tell you why. Look at all the videos that are out right now. Look at all the coaching techniques that are going on. They're mimicking what he's doing.
Exactly.
Every release that you see now, even the kids at Montgomery Bell Academy, you know, one of them is using it. He's leaving a legacy by what he's doing at the line of scrimmage, because he knows if I can beat you at the line of scrimmage, throw up the deuces, it's Christmas, it's over, game time.
Yeah, and to your point, right, in all of the receivers I talked to, Des Fitzpatrick, Josh Palmer, Amari Rodgers, like so many of these guys, you know, hey, who are some guys you watch? Oh, man, Devontae Adams. You know, it just, that name consistently comes up. So you're right, there is a legacy there. That's my number one receiver in the league, and he's someone that will catch those screens too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He'll catch the slant and maybe not run to take the distance, but he'll get you a big gain. So I think, you know, overall, that's my number one receiver.
I mean, we're on the same page. I mean, we receiver to receiver, we see talent when we see talent. Man, it's just poetry in motion. And I'm not saying he might not be the best receiver of all times. But if he stays healthy and keeps doing what he's doing, I think he can be considered one of the best at all times. So that's my number one guy. We're on the same page. We had a little riffraff at the beginning. But at the end of the day, receiver to receiver, number one is Devontae Adams. Let's roll.
A couple honorable mentions. For me, right, Tyler Lockett is a guy I love to watch him play.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember when he was coming out, whenever I would talk to him, I kept calling him Kevin, you know, after his dad, who I remember watching with the Chiefs. But you know, that's someone. Justin Jefferson, honorable mention for me as well. I love his game.
Wow.
You talk routes, right? Adam Thielen is a guy that I have to mention. Let me get this though. What are your thoughts on Michael Thomas before we get out of here? What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, he's just okay. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a great receiver. I just still think that he needs to improve a little bit on his route running. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's just a tough. Oh, we're talking about from the Saints, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, let me rewind that back. I think I think he can be one of the best of all times. But I still watch some of his route running. It's still kind of not crisp as the guys we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know he broke the record in catching the ball or most catches. But I think that's just a system that he's in that's going to feed him the ball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying in a disrespect, I'm not hating, but he's in a system to where he's getting about 10 and 12 looks a game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to catch some. But just watching his routes, some of the routes are not as crisp as some of the guys on the list that we said. So that's kind of where the conflict is a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. For me, you know, a lot of his stuff is underneath stuff. Now, you're only going to do what your coaches ask you to do. But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, three steps off the ball, turn and catch it.
Right.
We're talking about slants. Like who was it?
That's the point,
They started calling him Slant Boy.
You never see him running a post.
You don't see him running a route longer than 15 yards. You know,
and I'm not being disrespectful or hating because, you know, you just got to – the system is making him.
Right.
When you're getting 12 and 13 targets a game, I'm going to at least catch seven.
You better. You better. You know. Yeah. But, hey, I mean, look, he's produced, and I'll give him that. I just
– No doubt.
I wanted to get your take on him because I don't have him in my top five I'll struggle to put him in the top 10, honestly. But,
I can't either.
That being said, I respect his game, and he's done his thing. But, yeah, man, it was good to go over that.
Always,
you
man.
Know,
what
I
we got next week,
you.
Boss?
Next week, I mean, man, we're just gonna let it.
He's on down.
Roll the ball out there and see what it does, man. That's how we do it. He's on down the road.
Hey, you had that little mini afro like Michael Jackson here, dude.
Looking like a microphone.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. We're gonna keep this thing moving. Hey, we got a special guest this week, man, and it's only right. You know, the Falcons, the Titans are playing. We're going to bring in a guy who has cut his teeth with both organizations. That's former Titans receiver Harry Douglas. Harry, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be on, bud.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate you, man. Before we get into, you know, this game and just some other things, I want to go ahead and let the listeners know what you got going on, because I always like to recognize progress, and you're definitely making that.
Appreciate that, man. This year's going to be a big year for me. I'm excited for the year. I actually get to work with ESPN as an employee. I'm going to be working with college football, the digital shows. I'm going to be doing college football radio with ESPN, and on Sundays I'll be doing ESPN radio for the NFL, and then I'll also be doing the pregame show for the Falcons, along with a weekly show I do, Rise Up Tonight, with the Falcons as well. And then I still have my own show, the HD Connection. So I have a lot going on, but one thing about me, I love being busy and I love working.
No doubt about it. I feel your desire there. I got the same one. So let's get into this game and I want to talk about Julio Jones, because obviously – you know, you being Atlanta, you have a good understanding and just idea of the type of player that he is. What really are the Titans getting in a guy like Julio Jones?
Well, first things first, you're getting a player of his caliber, and I would say superstar caliber player. A guy that's selfless, a guy who was a team first guy, a guy who's going to go out there and do his job, a guy that's going to make things easier for the rest of the offense. A guy who's not going to complain. And that was Julio when I played. That was Julio after I played, because we still have a relationship. And he's a guy who just want to go out there and get his chance to win night in and night out.
I asked him about the targets and how he's averaged around 9 targets per game throughout his career, and how that's probably going to be different here. And he said he's never been a stats guy. For you, you know, with your personal interaction with him, is it safe to say that there won't be any issues as far as, you know, let's say they're he gets 3 targets and the Titans lose the game. That's not something that they'll have to worry about, I would imagine.
No, because from what I've seen from Julio since day one when he came in as a rookie, he was one of my rooks, me and Rod, in that receiver room, is that it's all about the team. It's times where he probably shouldn't have played because of an injury, but we all got together, and he's like, man, I'm going to go out there because, Harry, that's going to create one-on-ones for you. Devin Hester, that's going to give you one-on-ones while they doubling me and Roddy. So he's that type of guy who's going to sacrifice for the greater good of the team. So targets is not his concern. He's more so concerned with winning, making the playoffs, and bringing a championship to now Tennessee. So that's his MO. That's his motto. And I remember, I tell people this story all the time. I remember – maybe my last year with the Falcons, and we was playing in New Orleans, and we ran a lot of screens, and Julio got a lot of the screens, but I happened to line up outside, and he happened to line up inside. So when Matt called the play in no huddle, I was like, here, who switch? Switch. And he was like, no, you good. Just get it. I'll block for you. You good. Just go out there and get it. Mm. And I got the screen and went for about 30, 40, and actually sealed a win for us against New Orleans. So that's the type of player he is. So the Tennessee Titans, the Nashville community, everybody in Tennessee, and everyone who's a fan of the Titans should be welcoming and ready for a show from Julio Jones.
He's already come in, and we're talking to Harry Douglas, former Titans and actually former Falcons receiver. He's already come in and just like really been a guy that these younger guys look to. You know, he'll pull them aside. You know, hey, you got to do this at the top of your route, or shoot your hands this way, et cetera. For you, you know, you mentioned he was one of your rooks, and obviously you and Roddy, you know, you guys were the OGs for him. Is it kind of like something that you've passed down? Like, does it surprise you at all that he is already, you know, being an OG for these guys, you know, only spent 2 weeks with them?
And I'll say this first. Playing in the league 10 years and having the veterans that I had for me my first year in camp, I had Joe Horn, I had Brian Finneran, I had Michael Jenkins, I had Roddy. I had all these guys to assist me and help me along the way. And it's not like that everywhere, because I had guys on other teams where star receivers would tell them the wrong thing so they wouldn't be in contention to take their job. So it's not like that everywhere. So when you have older guys who are willing to help, and I've used Joe Horn for an example, I was there to take Joe Horn's spot. But that never wavered from Joe Horn helping me along the way, showing me the ropes, showing me little things in one-on-one, showing me things within team sessions, showing me things in the film room for me to be better. That was never the case. So when I got those teachings, it was only right for me to pass it down. And Julio was one of the guys that me and Roddy passed it down to. And now he's a guy who is passing it down to younger guys now. And it's all about being a pro, right? We play this game and we have to form these relationships that are bigger than the game that you have for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. But if you can assist a young guy on the way and show him the way and show him the path, because I think that is one of the things that may be diminishing in our game is that the older guys aren't showing these young guys and taking them under their wings to show them the ropes, show them the ins and outs, show them how they can be better, show them how they can beat one-on-one. And there's no better player than Julio Jones doing that for the receivers in Tennessee.
How do you think his presence will impact the rushing attack, you know, with Derrick Henry and just forcing teams to, you know, think twice about stacking the box?
Well, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're a defensive unit and you know you're going to play the Tennessee Titans, the first thing you better do is bring your hard hat and your lunch pail.
Yeah.
Because if not, they're just going to bully you out of the way. They're going to go to the store. They're going to take your cookies. They're going to take your candy. They're going to take your milk. And then your mama going to ask you, what's all the stuff you're supposed to buy? And you can't just say the Titans took it. You better strap it on and be ready to play night in and night out. But as far as the run game and how everything is going to work with Julio Jones, now defenses can't just key on stacking that box with Derrick Henry, because it would be crazy as hell if teams – leave their corners one-on-one with the Julio Jones, one-on-one with the A.J. Brown, two guys who are big, fast, physical, and Julio runs routes like a small guy. So now you got to be mindful of that. So defensive coordinators, I said this before, if you're getting sleep the night before that week of that game, then you're probably not doing your job as a defensive coordinator, because you should not be sleeping because you should be thinking of all kind of ways to stop Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown.
Well, fortunately for D.C., Dean Pease, he's not going to have to be concerned about that. This is a preseason game. But in your time there, have you gotten to interact with Coach Pease at all?
Yeah, I actually talked to Coach Pease, and I had a chance to talk with his wife as well. Two of the finest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And I just love his philosophy defensively, and me being able to study Dean Pease as a coach with the Patriots, as a coach with the Ravens, as a coach with the Titans. You see a lot of different things, right? And mm-hmm. I think the main thing that I've seen is that he adapts to his personnel,
right?
That's the difference between a good coach and a great coach. A great coach adapts to his personnel and builds things around them. In Tennessee, it was different. In Baltimore, he might not have had to bring a lot of pressure so much because you had those bona fide dogs up front that can get to the quarterback just by rushing one-on-one. So the fact that he's going to play to guys' strength and put them in the best positions to be successful, that's what I love the most about Dean Pease.
And, you know, the one thing that's consistent with him has always been really good safety play. So I want to see how that plays out, you know, for the guys down there in Atlanta. But, I mean, you look at the guys, you know, Kevin Byard, obviously, Ed Reed, Rodney Harrison, I mean, Kenny Vaccaro, there's a long line. So I want to see how that passes on to these Falcons safeties.
And here in Atlanta, he just drafted one in the second round. You got Richie Grant. You had a guy the year before they drafted in Jalen Hawkins. These guys are tweeners, right, who can play that role to where they can play nickel. They can guard a tight end. They can line up on the line of scrimmage. They can be good tacklers in the box. There's a multiplicity of things that these guys can do, like Logan Ryan did.
Right.
For him, like you've seen Ed Reed or a Pollard and all these type of guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how he used those safeties this year with the Falcons.
No doubt. And then to flip it to the other side of the ball, Coach Art, man, Arthur Smith, you look at what he did here. I mean, turn things completely around. It's rare that you have a Titans offense that's a top five in points and yards, et cetera. So what are your thoughts on Coach Art and what he could do down there, especially with Kyle Pitts?
I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be an amazing relationship between him and Matt Ryan. Everything is going to be predicated off this offensive line here in Atlanta. And they have a lot of high draft picks on this offensive line. And everything has to go in cohesion with Arthur Smith and how he wants it, because everything is predicated off the run game. I think they did a great job in bringing in Mike Davis from Carolina. They have another guy, Quadre Olison. You have Cordell Patterson. You have a guy from Louisville, the best university out there, Javion Hawkins, who's also in the mix. But this offensive line is going to set the tone for this entire offense. because a lot of things are predicated off of the run game. Now you have two tight ends in Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst. Now, he had two good ones in Tennessee with Fursker and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
But the two he has right now I think are even better with Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst. And not to mention,
yeah,
you got Lee Smith as a third one as well. So there's going to be a lot of things that he can do offensively to create matchups and dictate what he wants a defense to be in based off these solid three tight ends that you have on the roster.
Yeah, and, you know, the Falcons have a guy that I really like, and Olamide Zaccheaus, too. I like his game, so I want to see how he's able to use him maybe on some deep passes off of play action.
I think he's going to benefit more from Arthur Smith from a receiving standpoint more so than anybody, because every time that he stepped in last year when Julio was out, he was productive.
Yeah.
Right? And the scheme that Arthur Smith wants to run, which you're very familiar with, fits Olamide Zaccheaus very, very well. So I'm looking forward to him having a big year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, you mentioned Louisville, so we have to go there. Des Fitzpatrick, have you watched him? I'm sure you did through his days in Louisville. Well, what are your thoughts on him, the young receiver?
I love Des, and I thought going into the draft, he was one of the most underrated players in the draft. A lot of people early on didn't know about his speed. I knew about his speed because I watched a lot of film on him. I watched a lot of his games being a Louisville alum. But the thing that drew me to Des the most is that plays when he didn't have the football, right? He was always hustling, trying to go block a man. He was physical in the run game. He never took plays off. Now you pair that up with the speed, the ability to run routes, and he has a little bit more wiggle to him than people give him credit for. His contested catches, the way he makes the contested catches. And I thought it was a great pick for the Titans, and he's going to be a future star in this league, and happy for him being able to be in Tennessee, one of my former teams.
Yeah, Coach Vrabel has said that, you know, consistency has been the key for him, just like it is for pretty much any other rookie. But there are some times where, you know, it looks like he's swimming uphill a little bit. So, you know, as a guy who has been there and done that, if you were to speak to him, what would be some words of wisdom that you would impart upon him?
Well, you just got to attack each day. You got to attack things by daily, right? You can't focus on what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't focus on what's going to happen within a week. Every time you go out there, and then you got to attack everything one rep at a time within that day. Even at times when you get tired, hey, I'm just focused on this one rep. I got to be great for this one rep. Then you move on to the next play. When you're going through your stuff from the previous day, learn from your mistakes. And then you have Julio Jones there. You have A.J. Brown there. You have Josh Reynolds there. You have all these guys. You have Ryan Tannehill. Be a magnet to those guys and understand the game and defenses so the game could be even easier.
I think the acquisition of Julio Jones, it's obviously going to benefit A.J. Brown, but I think it really is a huge plus for Des Fitzpatrick, because I think it does allow him to just do that, be patient, and stack those days as you just described. So we'll see what happens. As you mentioned, you know, he's a very capable player. So, yeah, man. Harry, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people find your work? You mentioned, you know, some of the things you're doing, but, you know, social media is a thing, so they always want to follow. So if any of our listeners aren't following, where can they find you?
Well, first I'll start with my show, The HD Connection. It's on YouTube. It's The HD Connection, and then that's on Instagram as well, at The HD Connection. And then on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is at HDouglas83. And then all my work that I'll be doing this year for ESPN will be radio-wise, and then all on their digital platform. So you guys can hear me on all that.
Never stop recording. That's the motto he follows. I love it. Harry, I appreciate you, man. We'll definitely have to catch up.
No problem at all. Appreciate it, TV.
All right.